I believe I've provided factual proof beyond a reasonable doubt of what these central banks, governments, in our case, the federal government, state governments, and county governments are doing. They would literally be able to accept payment from any one of the 1,400 cryptocurrencies, and they know who you are because they're using a centralized blockchain. If it's decentralized, it can be utilized for positive purposes, from with everything from medical to education to science. It's a wonderful thing because you can literally educate millions of people. So in the future, if you go to register, or pay for your registration, or you know whatever, you have to use their centralized blockchain. So there's no way around it.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today I'm bringing on Kent Lewis, and he's going to talk to us about how he sees cryptocurrencies evolving and how he sees the central banks ultimately taking control of all cryptocurrencies. And he's going to show us his report, or talk to us about his report and all the research he's done on this. A lot of us have been talking and speculating that there is no way that governments are going to allow a separate, independent form of monetary system that they can't control. I mean, it's just hard to even fathom that that could happen. And he's done a lot of research showing what their ultimate plan is and how, of course, they're not going to let that happen, and how they're going to end up controlling cryptocurrencies. It's a very interesting look at this because it helps people understand what they could be doing with this, because it doesn't make sense for them to just let it go and not have a hand in this. So this really does make sense that they could be doing this. So it's really eye-opening. And then I also ask them about other very topical issues as far as the geopolitical and the United States and where we're going. And then he sticks around to do a couple extra questions for my Patreon. So if you want to watch that, go to Patreon, Sarah Westall, and help support the show. It's something that I do as a big thank you for my Patreons. And so let's now get into that interview with Kent Lewis. Hi, Kent. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you.
I'm really glad that you came on the show because you've done a lot of research figuring out what's behind the central banks and how they're planning to use cryptocurrencies and blockchain to be able to control all these cryptocurrencies, because it doesn't make sense to me and to most people out there that they would just let these cryptocurrencies flourish and not want to maintain control of them somehow. And so you've done a lot of research to figure out what their master plan is. But before we get into that, can you tell people what your background is and why you decided to really dig into this and figure it out?
Well, I've been in software since the mid-90s, and I've owned created many different software projects, mainly within the real estate sector, everything from real estate agent contract software to real estate data software. I've worked with hundreds of assessors' offices. And back in the 90s, we were participants within the invention of RETS, or real estate transaction standards. And that's when I started getting into cryptocurrency. That's how I really identified what the central banks are doing, specifically with distributed ledger technology.
Which is the blockchain technology, for people that don't
blockchain
know.
Blockchain and DLT, or digital ledger technology, are one of the same.
Okay. So you developed a report that really looked at all this stuff. Can you tell people what is in your report and what it entails?
I was watching YouTube one night, and I saw a video with Lynette Zhang and Sean over at SGT. And I had created a cryptocurrency, and I sat back in my chair and I went, uh-oh. So I started researching what Lynette did, and I built upon her research. And when I started researching, I found that others had discovered the same thing. But I took their research and I built on top of it. And I believe I've provided factual proof beyond a reasonable doubt of what these central banks, governments, in our case, the federal government, state governments, and county governments are doing. What they're doing specifically is they are placing tangible assets and commodities onto blockchains utilizing standardization. So in the case of county governments, they're going to assessor's offices and they're putting real estate data onto a blockchain, but when they're doing it, they're utilizing RETS or real estate transaction standards. Okay. And then, but every industry has standardization. You name it, there are, let me just give you a brief description of what standardization is. Standardization, at least speaking for RETS, allows computers to communicate. So if you were to go to a real estate listing website, or if you're using a real estate related software that has real estate data, if you're looking at the screen and let's say you're on an assessor's website, a piece of property, let's say, might have 100 different pieces of data on the screen. Well, behind the screen are common data fields. They'll allow all the data to be standard within it. So it doesn't matter if you're looking on it on the assessor's website or on a realtor website, all the data is the same. And that's standardization. And so, but they're doing this for all different commodities, all different products. And when they do that, they control the asset, okay? And they will be able to, when they're done, they will would be able to accept payment from any cryptocurrency. There's almost 1,400 cryptocurrencies in the crypto, in the exchanges today. They would literally be able to accept payment from any one of the 1,400 cryptocurrencies, and they know who you are because they're using a centralized blockchain.
How do you know that it's not just, because everything is so insecure and our networks and everything is like has absolutely no security. The hackers can get into it left and right. And blockchain is a promising way to help, you know, make things more secure. So how do you know that it's not an attempt to make things more secure versus an attempt to just control everything?
I'm not sure that that has, and I don't mean to be condescending or disrespect, but I don't see that having any relevance. What cryptocurrency, so when you have digital ledger technology, it can be utilized, if it's decentralized, it can be utilized for positive purposes, from with everything from medical to education to science. It's a wonderful thing because you can literally educate millions of people because it can reside in so many places at different times. When it's centralized is when banks and governments can control assets. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, that's good. Well, that's the important thing, because what people are going to say, and this is why I asked the question, not because I'm clueless, but because what they're saying is that this is a way to make things more secure. We have so many security problems that we need to move to the next generation of stuff. So that's what their big message is to make things more secure, to go to the next generation of software. And so what you're saying is we can be just as secure and be decentralized, but you're not just doing that. You're centralizing stuff. So we're not even, so their messaging and everything that they're going to be telling people is fine, but that's not the point. It's a distraction from the main point that they're trying to use this technology and then centralize the information and the data.
That's exactly what they're doing. But they're doing it on a worldwide scale. Okay. And so what the main argument always is when you see the pundits on TV, their main argument is Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin is decentralized, okay? Well, that is true. However, when you take and you place assets and commodities in which we purchase on a daily basis, they can go to the food industry and they can put all food onto a government centralized blockchain, okay? And they can accept payment from any cryptocurrency. And because it's centralized and because they're using standardization, they can attach that to a Visa card. They can attach it to your smartphone, okay?
So are they going to make you register in order to be able to do any kind of commerce?
I would have to say in the future, so we're kind of taking it, going ahead of a couple steps in which is occurring. But yes, I believe that in the future, what they will do is they will say they're going to come out with the dollar coin. Okay. I think that, let me take a couple steps back. I think that they're going to intentionally create inflation to get to lower the debt. Okay. Because the dollar loses value. The amount of the debt is reduced, okay? Then they'll come out with and say, hey, we've got an answer to all this. We've got the new dollar coin, and they'll probably back it by gold or oil. And the dollar paper money will go away, and you'll be able to pay with your Visa or MasterCard or a chip in your hand or whatever they want. And then they'll go to the other cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ether and Dash and Monero, the anonymous cryptocurrencies, PIVX, and they'll say, hey, we'll allow payments from your cryptocurrency, but you have to register with us. You have to become a registered cryptocurrency. And at that point, they can charge taxes, a worldwide value-added tax. You know, a lot of people within the cryptocurrency industry, they focus on cryptocurrencies, and they're not focusing on what the central banks and governments are doing, okay? And just recently, Russia announced a country-specific cryptocurrency called the ruble coin. Japan, the J coin. Sweden has their own. Venezuela just announced their own.
India.
They're going to go to negative interest rates within a cashless society. And I believe that I've done an extraordinary amount of research on this. And how the story goes is an anonymous Japanese fellow by the name of Satoshi invented this back in 2008. They released it in 2009. Well, there was a development team, and there was a guy named Anderson, and they were chatting back and forth. And Anderson says to Satoshi, you know, I think that the CIA should know what we've invented, and I've created a meeting with them. That was the last time they ever heard from Satoshi. Okay. He's never been heard from since. Okay. I'm under the impression, after all the research that I've done, my opinion is it is the most elaborate ruse in history, and they have tricked the libertarian community into creating the worldwide control system for the central banks. And libertarians in the cryptocurrency community is unwittingly creating this evil control system, and it's too late. And so I have created a cryptocurrency that to a certain degree circumvents what the central bankers are doing, and it's called 1776.
Well, first let's talk about how you think that the Bilderberg group or the central banks or some other group actually controls the software for Bitcoin. And then I want to eventually get back into your cryptocurrency and how that would circumvent. Sure. But let's get into why you think the software for Bitcoin is controlled by another group.
Well, it's just a fact.
But how do you know that? And what group is controlling?
Page 5 of my report, okay, right here. There is a company in France called AXA Strategic Ventures. Their CEO is the long-term chairman of the Bilderberg Group, the core software company for blockchain is called Blockstream. And so AXA Strategic Ventures invested over $80 million into Blockstream. Well, if you control software development for a software platform in Bitcoin, you control the software, okay? Furthermore, Bitcoin is what we call proof of work. It requires a individual or a company to mine transactions. They actually build the blocks within the blockchain, okay? And then they earn, let's say, a commission for doing so, okay? China controls 90% of Bitcoin mining, okay? This was never about circumventing the central banks. This was about getting society used to a cashless society and building it was built in open source in order to get over 1,400 different cryptocurrencies created to get the world used to a cashless society so that they could come to the rescue with their own country-controlled, centralized blockchains with their attached country-specific cryptocurrencies.
Well, that makes sense because all these countries are moving forward in that direction. You also state, you've done a lot of research to show that the central banks are really investing heavily in this. Now, it's obvious that certain ones are because they've already put out a cryptocurrency that's their national currency. Now, how do we know that the United States is and that other countries are as well?
The United States is pure speculation on my part, but it's just common sense. It's a pattern. And so within my report, it's 30 pages, and I believe 26 pages are over 100 different links that prove this fact. At the end of the report, there is links to a research in which the IMF assigned China with the task of creating a market for the SDR, or special drawing rights, which is the currency for the IMF. Well, there's a company in China that created a cryptocurrency called ACC Chain, or it's acchain.org. Okay. And what they did is, I believe they cloned Ethereum, and they have literally attached tangible assets and commodities to the blockchain. They're actually doing real estate here in the United States, in Dallas, Texas. And I provide proof in this report. But they attached their cryptocurrency to the IMF, SDR. Okay. And so what I would speculate is China, they've been buying up all the gold in the world, and they will most likely, as we move forward, have another version of the world's reserve currency based on the SDR. And then every country in the world, and they'll have an international masternode blockchain. And then every country in the world will have their own masternode blockchain with their attached country-specific cryptocurrency. And again, people, after they add all tangible assets, let's just refer to the United States of America, at the federal, if after they attach assets and commodities to a blockchain, okay, at the federal level, at the state level, and at the county government level, they control the asset. And if they use standardization, they can accept payment from any cryptocurrency, and they know who you are. John McAfee, who I know, who I've been talking with about my reports and what we're doing, he refers to using the dark web. He also has a new product called Demon Song, okay? And he's talking about using Monero to make transactions. John is correct. When you make transactions on the dark web or on his product called Demon Saw, utilizing an anonymous cryptocurrency such as Monero or 1776, it is 100% anonymous. But Who in the world wants to do business on the dark web where they buy and sell drugs? Okay. They're going to take control of, they already control all the commodities and all the assets. Once they put them on blockchains, if you use Monero to purchase a product off of a centralized blockchain, they know who you are.
Okay, so how do you get around that? How can your cryptocurrency, 1776, how can that be anonymous when they are controlling everything?
If you buy it from, if you use my new cryptocurrency to purchase in the future a product off a centralized blockchain, it will not matter. They will know who you are. However, what I did is I created a private marketplace similar to Craigslist, in which you can purchase products or services. It's got localized markets, it's got worldwide markets, marketplaces, and but there's really no way around what they're doing. There's just not. You know, you can still buy products and services, you know, from individuals. You can even buy cars. But at one point, you have to register that vehicle with the county clerk's office, right? Okay. So in the future, if you go to register, pay for your registration, or you know whatever, you have to use their centralized blockchain. So there's no way around it.
Okay, so and that's how I see it. So it'll be a technocracy nightmare because you won't have any way to be anonymous. You know, gold. I mean, gold will become that much more valuable, probably. But how do you see that realistically playing out? Like what kind, you know, it's a technocracy nightmare. What does that mean?
This all ties into Agenda 21 within the smart cities and the technocracy. But everything and anything you see occurring in the world today is about one world government. It's about enslavement. It's about the control of humanity. It's about moving everybody into smart cities. And it's about AI, artificial intelligence, and
that mean? Because to a lot of citizens, they're like, whatever, it's all more controlled, and we trust our government. I don't know who can possibly trust the government anymore, but let's say, you know, we say, so what? Now it's all controlled. They can make sure the bad guys aren't around. It'll be peaceful. What really do you see it being like? Why does it scare you so much?
I'm a libertarian. I'm a free man.
Oh, I know, but I want you to paint a picture for people so that they so that we can understand what will it be like once the government completely or the world, you know, there's a world currency. What does that look like and how will that affect somebody?
They will be able to control society because they control the asset. If they do come out with a U.S. coin, a cryptocurrency, they will literally control that particular cryptocurrency, okay? And the only way around it was within a private marketplace. We thought about creating a decentralized marketplace. The problem with that is illegal activity. I think that it has to be private marketplaces that do not participate within standardization, in which you can buy products or services from private parties. To address your question, what it's going to be like, it's going to be your worst nightmare. It's going to be the PC on steroids.
An example of this would be, okay, so right now, like for example, when they control cancer treatments and things, you might get to a point where you can't do any treatment unless it's something they completely control. And so they can, when it comes to vaccines, you're done. When it comes to everything, you have to do exactly what they want you to do. And they can thin out the population when they want. It's only good unless you have good people running it. But as soon as you get any kind of nefarious character in any position of power, which we all know how human beings work, then they can implement any plan they want.
Sure. Digital ledger technology can either free humanity and be a wonderful thing if it's decentralized. If the government controls it and centralizes it, they can enslave humanity.
It being decentralized means they can't control everything. Right now, they're controlling things to an already to a big extreme, and they're not allowing, like in this country, our medical care is falling way behind the rest of the world because we're not getting a lot of the new stuff, and then we're also being held into protocols that are hurting people. And I've done a lot of shows showing people that. We could get into a technocracy nightmare where that environment is on steroids.
Yes. Yes. And again, everything that's what they're doing right now is they are beginning to force Agenda 21, 2030 agenda on the American people. And they're doing it subtle. And, you know, back in 96, Bill Clinton signed into law the Telecommunications Act, which is a great thing for our cell phones. But within that same bill, there was a section of it that allowed the media to consolidate from over 50 media companies into six multinational, globalist-controlled media outlets that utilize state-sponsored propaganda on the American people, and they control the narrative, and they divide us. They don't care if you think left or right, as long as we are divided and fighting over left versus right, irrelevant topics. When up here at the top, they do whatever they want to do. And
well, and that's why I'd like to paint the picture of what it really means. So it's not, I think most people don't realize, you know, libertarians may really, and this is their whole thing, and maybe some Republicans realize it, but I don't think the vast majority of people realize what it means once everything is controlled. They don't understand how that's going to affect you on a daily basis. They don't know what a free market is, let alone how something like this can really grind to a halt everything.
It, you know, I'm very, very factually informed. You know, everything that has occurred since the early 90s through the mid 90s has been about one world government, destroying America from within. And if you look at what Facebook does in China, they control the speech. You know, you cannot speak out. And that's where they're going today, where they're going with all this. And there will come a point where you will not be able to speak out. And if you do, I think you will be penalized.
Well, I think we're getting there. I think people are afraid. There is a lack of courage right now. People are afraid to talk about this stuff openly. It is, and I just did an interview with Patrick Elagio, and he wrote a book about the Pentagon and 9/11 and whatever. But we talked about the fact that people, there's a courage issue, and the people right now are afraid to. It could get a lot worse, but people, because they have a narrative, and if you speak differently than the narrative, the average person's afraid to talk. And so we're seeing the beginning of that now. People are afraid to talk about things because they think it's a conspiracy theory, even though it's like painted clearly. I mean, it's just so like 9/11. Most people still won't talk out loud about 9/11 when it's so obvious.
Yeah. That's what, you know, they have these think tanks, everything from the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, to the Travis Stock Institute, you know, the Bilderberg Group. And they, what I'm so impressed about is how patient and how detailed and methodical they are, everything from political correctness to fake news, in which they force upon society, and then people are afraid to speak out. They don't want any conflict, and it was all pre-planned, and it's just brilliant what they have done in an evil way. You know, but it was all pre-planned what they've done.
Well, I think people can look at a place like Haiti where all these charities are involved and they didn't do anything. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, all this money goes there and all these, like something like 47,000 different charities are registered to work in there, and it's a nightmare. They still don't have working water and all. You can see how they hide behind really good fronts. It's hard to imagine, you know, or the pedophile network, that trafficking network that I just did with Tim Holmseth, where they had a person acting as a priest because that's, they had to funnel the children through a priest, one unit of it, because they laundered children so that they could clear the child's title, if you will, and then they could sell the baby or the child, really young children. And they used this priest, somebody who just acted like a priest, registered as a priest somehow, and then it went through the church, if you will. And so they hide behind really good things and really good talk.
Yeah. The other thing they do is they use Alinsky's rules for radicals. And one of the rules is you blame your opponent for what you're doing. So if you notice, everything is the opposite of what it actually is. And then they utilize their media to blame the opposition for what they're actually doing.
Well, that's what's going on with a lot of the discrimination and stuff. They just, you just, if you say it enough times, everybody's going to believe someone's a bigot or a racist, or, and there's some truth to some of that in these things, but to paint the whole group that way, just because then you can write them off.
You know, most of my good friends either have, you know, black skin or brown skin, and most of them see through the divide and conquer strategies and which they're doing. And my fear, you know, after, once you really step out of the matrix and you start studying what these guys are doing, they're intentionally dividing society. And my fear is they're going to intentionally collapse the worldwide Ponzi scheme in which they've intentionally created. And when they can no longer use the Federal Reserve as a printing press to pay for all these different benefits, you've got your civil unrest. When you can't pay for all these different food stamps and different entitlement programs, and I fear that's what they want. Their narrative is control out of chaos, and they're going to get it, unfortunately.
When do you think that'll happen? I mean, where are we in that process?
You know, nobody can really tell you for sure, but, you know, The Economist magazine, I believe it was 2008, said that we'd have a new world currency in 2018. And, I was just watching an interview with Gregory Mannarino and Lynette Zhang. And I would have to speculate that it would be sometime in 2018. So people need to prepare, you know.
Well, how do you see silver and gold fitting into this equation then?
I believe they're intentionally suppressing it to keep the value of the dollar up. As soon as people, you know, that I believe that the days of the dollar as the reserve currency is already done. It's already gone. You've got countries, you know, new countries just about every day that are announcing that they're not going to use the dollar as the petrodollar. And when that occurs, that value of the dollar is going to plummet. And I believe it's all intentional. I believe they want hyperinflation, you know, and this is speculation on my part, you know, they advertise a $20 trillion debt, which is BS. You know, it's more like $200 trillion. But let's just use the $20 trillion. You know, if you've got the dollar that goes down next to zero, where's that debt? That debt goes down as well. And then they come out with the dollar coin. And let's say that, you know, they back up by gold and oil, and they enter the exchanges, the value of that dollar coin is going to be enormous, okay? And we'll just have a nationalized cryptocurrency that I don't think the dollar will ever go away. They'll just allow it to go down, you know, next to zero, and therefore the debt is greatly diminished as well.
That's interesting. So do you see the United States getting into civil unrest as this whole thing transpires?
Yes.
What do you think is going to happen with the United States? Are we going to stay together as a union?
You know, they're implementing Agenda 21. They've planned smart cities. So I live in the mountains in Colorado. And, you know, they don't want us out here in the rural areas anymore. And I won't go... get into what I believe they're doing with the California fires, but it fits perfectly into Agenda 21. And they have what's called smart cities. So from Fort Collins to down south of Pueblo, here in Colorado, is all designated as a smart city. And they're going to implement what's called 5G. Well, if you've studied 5G, you know, if you look at radiation on a scale from 1 to 10, it emits like a consistent steady 5.5. They're going to fry us like rats. You know, I live way outside of Denver, okay, into the Colorado mountains. I go out, I call it Chemtrail Tuesday. Every Tuesday, there's at least 20 chemtrails, and they're just zigzagging, okay? And my God, when you look, they have created a pattern. When you study everything from solar radiation management to vaccines to Fukushima fish to GMO foods to poisoned water, I personally believe that it's created a pattern towards there is a soft genocide being created on humanity. And you can't call it anything other than that. It's just, it's disgusting.
When do you think the humans will actually start dying off in larger numbers because of all this? Or do you think that, I don't know, we'll just be sick? Because we're already sick, but we're not seeing the mass die-offs. Do you think we're actually going to see mass die-offs?
You know, when you look at their white papers of the Tavistock Institute, even when you hear some of the people at the UN speak, if you look at the Georgia Guidestones, you know, they say by 2030, they want to reduce the population down below a billion people. And when you look at everything that's going on, you know, let's just look at Fukushima fish. If you eat something that a fish or sushi that's radiated, you're not going to taste it. You're not going to know for years down the road that you have lymphoma or something like that. Okay. You look at if you've watched the movie Vaxxed. Okay. By 2030, one in two children will have autism. Okay. So the goal,
autism is so that people won't reproduce, and you think that making people sick so they die earlier, and is the Georgia Stones, you think that is the same group then, not necessarily Bilderbergs, but the Rothschilds and the elite families?
Yeah, you Committee think of 300,
yeah.
Council on Foreign Relations, the world's richest families. You know, I'm more of a factual-based guy, but, you know, to hypothesize, yeah. I believe that that they're demonic. I believe that they're doing all this to intentionally reduce the population. And I think in the next few years, you're going to see an influx of people that are getting sick from eating fish and GMO foods. And I'm a very optimistic, positive person, and I don't want to talk like this or address things like this, you know, but when you wake up and you see what's actually occurring, you're not much of a man if you don't speak out and you try to warn people. So I created a platform called www.freedom.social. Okay. And it is an independent media platform, and it's a truth seekers platform, and it's an activist platform, and it's a group driven platform in which we address everything in which we are currently discussing right now. Okay. And I've tried to create an ecosystem to save the savable. I just don't think that everybody is going to be savable. And there's nothing that it's just, we're too far down the rabbit hole. We're just too far. And it's inevitable what we're discussing, unfortunately, is going to start occurring in the next few years. And the financial systems, what we're discussing in that particular topic, the beginning of it is going to be in 2018.
You know, how do you, if they're really depopulating and doing all that, making it, I know that, you know, the health issues is everything's off the chart. Everything is, if you look at it, this is 2 years ago. Every disease is like this, you know, just straight up. But the people that are behind this, they have to live in this world as well. So what are they thinking? Do they have a way to protect themselves, or they just don't care?
They've got suppressed technologies that can cure anything. I often get asked that question. The fact of the matter is what's occurring is occurring. I had a friend over here yesterday at my house. We're standing on the porch, and out here there's a plane flying over, going this way, and another one coming this way, and this one was just laying a thick chemtrail, big old thick thing. I was like, see that plane right there? You see how the contrail is dissipating? Okay. You see that one right there? That is, and I explained to him, what the Harvard website, if you go to the Harvard website, what they say, they're adding a layer to the ozone to reflect a percentage of the sun's sunlight energy back into space. Okay. So that's, if you go to freedom.social, there's a link within the Stop Geoengineering group to the Harvard website that points this out. Well, they are all, and even on their website, what it says is, even if we are successful, this is just a very small percentage to the solution. Meanwhile, they're spraying the earth with barium and aluminum filaments. And they're drying out the forests. They're killing off the pollination, the bees, what does aluminum do to the human brain? Well, hello, Alzheimer's. And they don't have any regards for people. And then people don't, what his statement was to me is, I can't believe that our government would be doing that to us. Well, it's happening. If you go over to Dane Whittington's website called geoengineeringwatch.org, he's goes out into the forest and they take water samples and they take forest samples. And it's just undeniably proof what they're doing. They admit it on the Harvard website. So people, wake up.
Well, who do you think these people are? Are they Luciferians? They are. And are they trying to bring, some things that I've heard is that they're creating so much evil. I mean, so much bad stuff that... Yeah. They're wanting Lucifer to come back to come. Is that what they're trying to do?
That would be total speculation on my part, but I believe that. I believe that's to a certain degree what CERN is all about. I've got a big 130-pound dog pushing me over. Yeah, if you look at what they're doing with CERN, if you go over to BP Earthwatch channel on YouTube, he does some really in-depth research, and he syncs up when they're firing up CERN and they're opening up actual wormholes. And he's got pictures of it on his website. I'm no scientist, but it's concerning what they're doing, and I believe that's what they're doing. With the chemtrails, is they're able to utilize the CERN's beams more effectively with this metal barrier within the stratosphere, and the military is also using it for radar purposes additionally, I can prove everything I've proven. If you go over to freedom.social, there's links and proof on the platform that prove all of this.
So are you still in the mode of fighting it, or are you now past that and more about preserving your own life and your family's life and being one of the million or the billion that's left over after everybody else gets killed off?
With some of the people I've been talking with, I'm pretty sure I'm on the 1% watch list because I'm speaking out. And I'm trying to save the savable. I don't, at this point, I just don't believe that everybody's going to be savable. I try to eat all organic, how much you can. I got off of the fluoridated water, a couple years ago. And, but most of the people, You know, I have a lot of friends that live in Phoenix. What was Aaron Brockovich won the Academy Award for the movie called Aaron Brockovich. And I believe she discovered this chemical in some water up in Oregon or Washington. And do you realize in Phoenix, there is 60 times the amount of that very same chemical in the Phoenix water supply? Have you ever heard one word from the media? One word from anybody?
So everybody is getting that in Phoenix?
60 times the level. Wow. That is a fact. Yes.
That's it. Yes. Now, are we seeing higher cancer rates and problems there than other places?
You know, I haven't done that research, but you know, it is, you know, if anybody Googles that, it's just a fact, you know? So
imagine that it would be coming then. If it really is 60 times yes. more in their water supply, then it's a foreshadow or a, you know, of what's coming.
Yes. You know, and, you know, but that's, there's so many concerns. It's just so much. It's overwhelming.
So you're answered my question. You're pretty much like, okay, I can do what I can do, but I have kind of, I'm about preserving myself and making sure I'm one of the billion that's left over.
Not necessarily. I'm putting myself out on a limb. I created, you know, when I realized what they were doing, censoring the independent media, I did what I could to try to spread the proof, the factual proof of what's actually occurring, you know, and I don't know if it's too late or not, but I know this much. If we can get millions of people united to say, no, you're not going to spray us like bugs. No, Monsanto, you're not going to take over 80% of our small farms, you know, and force GMO foods on us by taking over our food supply, you know. You know, if people will just go to www.freedom.social and unite and learn the factual information about what's going on, we still stand a chance. We need to stop Agenda 21. You know, Patrick Wood, I'm a big fan of Patrick Wood. His website is technocracy.news. I'm not sure if you've interviewed Patrick.
I have, yes. He's great. I even used some of his material in a class that I taught, so... He doesn't know that, I don't think, but yeah.
I'd love to interview him sometime. So, Patrick, if you watch this, you know, I created a platform for independent media on freedom.social, and we've got live IPTV. We've got a platform similar to this where, you know, in the future, if we ever do an interview again, we can utilize that. We can utilize screen sharing on the Freedom platform. So everything that we're talking about right now, I can just pull up a link and show the factual proof of what we're discussing.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your cryptocurrency. Are you going to go public with it? How is it working?
We launched it 2 weeks ago, and it's called the 1776 token. And what I did is I wrote this particular report. It's called The Evil Central Bankers Blockchain. It's available on freedom.social. And what I did is I created a private marketplace called Freedom Market, in which in the future, as soon as they complete their evil blockchain and going to do what they're going to do, you can purchase products or services off the market utilizing the 1776. And what we did, I had some experts do it. We created an anonymous cryptocurrency in which when I wrote this report, I created a technological approach to the extent that we can circumvent what the central bankers are doing. That's what we do with 1776. We created 177,600,000 tokens, and we're giving away 100 million free tokens to 10 million people, or 10 tokens to 10 million people. And why would we do that? Number one, because we're circumventing what they're doing, we realized that we needed to make it unstoppable. So when we create 10 million different wallet downloads, it will be decentralized and unstoppable. Number two, we wanted to create as large as blockchain is Bitcoin. Number three, when we enter the exchanges March 1st, we will have a very high valuation. Okay. And so everybody can go and get their 10 free tokens, and then, you know, you can buy additional. They're only 25 cents a piece right now. And we believe that if we hit the 10 million mark, we believe we will, we'll be a top 10 cryptocurrency. We can't promise that, but it's just common sense that we will be.
Excellent. Well, will you stay around and answer some more questions or a question or two for my patrons?
Oh, yeah, you bet.